We're wrapping up National Soup Month on the Julie Tussey Show with a great Tuscan soup recipe during the podcast. And also I'll be talking to the famous April, my trusty sidekick. We're going to learn how she lost 40 pounds and has kept it off. She looks fabulous. Welcome to the Julie Tussey Show.
Get on the Julie Tussey train. We're going somewhere, baby.
I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glampane.
We are aging wells on the Julie Tussey Show. Voted top cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Henry Wells is available to help you age wells too. WellsPlasticSurgery.com, an official sponsor of the Julie Tussey Show.
Pop the glampane. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show. Live guest, current events, scathing exposés. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby, giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Thank you so much, everybody. I am so glad to be here with you today. It is a Thursday as April and I are in the studio, and we have so much going on. I'm so excited. Hi, April.
So much. Hi. I want some of that soup.
I know.
I've got soup on the brain.
It's National Soup Month.
It's the... Oh, I love it.
I was just telling April that we've been giving you a soup recipe every single podcast in January, except the very first one, because I forgot to ask Heather if she had one, Heather Robertson. But I was telling April, I've made every single one of those soups, and they are so good. Mm-hmm. In April, I think I told, I might have said it, but I take my extra soup and put it in a quart jar and freeze it. And April's like, yeah, we have to pre-plan.
Right.
You know, everybody's about food prep, mm-hmm. right, April?
Right. That's the big thing.
It is.
People are busy.
So I'm doing like mm-hmm. accidental food prep.
Just by making too much food?
Yeah, it wouldn't fit in the pan.
Right.
So I make this gigantic batch of the beef vegetable soup recipe that we shared, and it's growing and growing in my pan, and so I had to actually get a one-cup measuring cup, and I thought, I'm going to throw this in a quart jar. Mm-hmm. So I filled a whole quart, and then my soup was perfect on the stove, and it was kind of semi-cooked. It mm-hmm. wasn't thoroughly cooked. Popped it in the freezer, and now I've been working like a crazy zany woman every day from dark to dark. Yes, it is a tribulation sometimes, but I've been working so much I haven't had a lot of time to cook, and so mm-hmm. I open the freezer door, and what do I see?
Oh! Yes.
You do that sound effect for me usually.
Oh, yeah.
The angels are singing.
Yes. I saw the soup. And I pulled it out, and I'm so happy.
It's like you give your past self a big hug. Thank you for thinking of the future me and giving me leftovers.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to have vegetable mm-hmm. soup. I'm going to be able to stay on my diet plan mm-hmm. because of that. Easier.
Right.
Well, I can't promise that I'll stay on because, and this is what our topic's going to mm-hmm. be about today, but I like to say the road to my success in weight loss is littered with chips, salsa, and chocolate.
Right.
So who knows what could happen today?
Right.
You know what it reminds me of? Like that song, "You Dropped a Bomb on Me, Baby." That's kind of how my dieting life is.
Okay.
I'm probably going to put that song in here.
Oh, good.
I love that song. So it can be frustrating. I'm going to tell everybody what we have coming up, and then we're going to get your story, and I'm so excited
yes.
about it because you've been a huge inspiration to me. It's Fit and Fabulous January on the Julie Tussey Show, so baby, we're going to get you fit and fabulous.
There you go.
Next month, February, you guys, you would love to live in a day of the life of Julie and April because we go to the Mexican restaurant and plot, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We plot with carnitos or whatever.
Right. Carnitas, yeah.
We plot our plan. And so we plotted out the first 7 months of the year. So February is love month, baby. It's so fun. And we're going to be kicking it off celebrating Valentine's Day and romance and all of these things. And we're going to kick it off with Julia London. She is a New York Times bestselling author and romance novelist. Now, she writes more than romance, but I've only listened to the romance novels because I love the history, like the 1800s and the 1300s, and I love all that. She does series, and she's released published over 45 novels. Well, she came on, and we had a time. So we're going to release that podcast on February 5th.
Awesome.
Something more very exciting, that's not more exciting, but more exciting in the month of February that's coming is Heather Robertson called me, and you all know she has HalfSizeMe.com and HalfSizeMe, the podcast, and she lost 170 pounds, kept it off for 6 years, so we've kind of become friends, and she has this huge community that follow her, and you can actually pay a little membership fee every month, and then you get access to all her courses. She's a teacher, so she has the most amazing courses on time management and how to overcome the scale. And I mean, we could make a podcast out of every subject. And she has these followers that kept asking her, I want to know your whole story. So you know how it is when you join a group on Facebook or you're listening to podcasts, you get a piece here and a piece there and a piece there. So she put a shout out and said, who wants to interview me for my own podcast? And nice. I got to do it. Yeah, so I got to do that. So that's going to drop either like January 29th, February 5th in there. So if you're interested in her story, in hearing yours truly do one of the best things she tried to ever do in her whole life with that interview. Go find Half Size Me, the podcast, and start listening. And so that's going to drop. I actually got to be interviewed to be on her podcast. And I have to tell you, I almost cried a couple of times. You can't really tell in the interview. But she asked me to start. She asked me, like, how far back in my life did I remember when food became an issue to me? And it was surprising. I told her I named it the Dorito Discovery. I had a Dorito Discovery in like, I think it was second grade.
Oh, okay.
So really young. And I had a, I don't want to tell my whole story, but I had a picture taken of myself when I was 11. And I was as skinny as a string bean, but I had a booty. Like I had a nice little bubble butt going on. I don't know where that went. I always used to say my bubble's in the middle, but it's gone. And when I posed for that picture, I crossed my arms over myself and I looked away from the camera and I was so self-conscious. And somehow food and diet and the way that I saw myself started so early for me.
Okay.
And so I always started crying at that part. But it was really, really good because it's the first time anyone's ever really asked me for my story. You know, I get on the podcast and I talk about my struggle a lot and how if I can do it, anybody can do it. But there's some deep-seated things in there, sister. I think I'm going to have to go to the counselor.
And I haven't thought about that myself, like going back to when was the first time I felt self-conscious? And I was about 11 years old, and I went through a phase. It went away, and I stayed kind of small after that. But I remember the first time I saw myself in a bathing suit where I thought my body didn't look right. But you know, when you're growing, you look kind of funny until you become an adult. Things are kind of out of proportion, and everyone looks, little kids look kind of goofy. It's normal.
I know, like no when your head's really big for your body. Yeah. So long.
And it's so easy to pick yourself apart in these pictures, and you're a child, but it makes sense to start early. Like, when did you start having these feelings? That's nice that she asked
and
you
I
that.
Was really surprised because what I saw, of course, that was the era. I am old, okay? I stay 30, but I'm pretty old. That was the era old. When Twiggy, this model named Twiggy, was, and I think she was a waif. you know what I mean?
Right.
She was like the size of a string bean with long hair.
Right.
Or maybe she had short hair. I don't remember. I think she had
long hair. She has pictures with both. I think she's changed it up.
You know, I was like, 11, and I had to have my mom buy me a long blonde wig because my own hair, I couldn't take pain in my head very well. If you want me to fight with you, just pull my hair. So my mom kept it short, and so I had this wig. I was the most stupidest looking with my wig. But I love that long. Mm-hmm. I felt like empowered and beautiful. But I remember being bullied a lot. And yeah. People would say something because I had curves. But I was very thin. Like I had a six pack. Mm-hmm. I was not big busted. I just had this bubble butt. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a precursor of things to come, darling.
Right.
But kids, they don't know that. They don't know, wow, she's going to have a great body. Look at that. Look at all those muscles and that booty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that interview was really, really cool. And I'll when I find out when that's coming, I'm going to let everybody know. I'm very excited about it, to be on that podcast. Yeah. Well, you know what February is? You don't know April.
Other than Love Month and National Soup Month. Those are only two things I know.
Can we get one more thing in here? What? It is the second anniversary of the Julie Tussey Show.
Woo! Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so we're so excited about that. So we'll be celebrating the second anniversary. And then we have this crazy couple of girls that I found here. And you remember that program, Hot in Cleveland, with Valerie Bertinelli was in there and Betty White. Hilarious. I love that pod. Love that program. We're going to do Hot in Richmond.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we're bringing August and September.
Now, they are sisters?
They're sisters. Mm-hmm. And they're just on Facebook doing these crazy, zany little skits, and they're a lot of fun. So we're going to do a Hot in Richmond on the Julie Tussey Show. Yep. And we'll fit right in because you're a month, you're April, and some people call me July.
Uh-huh. There you go.
So I'm July Tussey. So I'm going to fit right in. It's going to be a great one. As a result of Hot in Richmond coming, we're going to share today a soup recipe later in the podcast. And it's Tuscan style soup by Valerie Bertinelli. And
I have made it.
And girl, it's really good.
All right.
Well, we're going to get to your story as soon as we get back.
There's nothing more powerful than love and acceptance. Find it in abundance here on The Julie Tussey Show. I want this one to be like, in a world of haters, be a lover. I'm here to show you how to do that.
We're talking today about the road to weight loss success being littered with chips and salsa. And I've had April in my life for a while, and she has really, really inspired me. I've shared a lot about how I've lost weight, and I might throw some things in there after, you know, when I'm not chewing chips and salsa during this because I didn't eat breakfast. But I wanted you to share your story, April, because you have been such an influence on me. I've lost 24 pounds since you've met me.
Awesome.
Did you realize that? I was on the struggle bus, sister, and you were such an inspiration. So it's funny how we were talking about, when do you remember, have you had a weight problem your whole life, or is it something that just happened?
Well, I'm 5'2" and generally is athletic or average build, and I stayed that way. I was pretty fit as a kid. And I stayed active because I really love sports. I think that really helped. I think if I didn't have sports, it could have been a different story. But I got really into basketball in high school. And then when I was in college, after a few years of college, I joined the Army up. So I stayed physically active. And I think that's just always been my thing and really helped me. So when I got married and didn't work, stayed home with two small children within 14 months of age of each other, that was kind of the first time I learned what a sedentary or otherwise non-athletic or non-working woman, what your body goes through. The stressors change when you're a mother, and your body changes, everything changes.
And your hormones.
So, yeah, so it kind of just hit me at once. Like, I had two kids, and at the time I was in a really unhappy marriage. And so that didn't help either. I am a firm believer that the life stressors are what put weight on me to begin with. So yeah, and I think if I'd stayed active and stayed healthy and been around healthy people, I think even through motherhood I could have pulled through it. But I kind of just threw my hands up in the air and really stopped caring, and I got complacent in the marriage, and we were already falling out of love with each other. You know, you don't want to keep yourself up, but there's that motivation you need.
Yeah,
to keep
like
yourself
you're not trying
up.
To impress anybody, and you're feeling down.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't like me anyway. He doesn't want to see me. Doesn't want to talk
to me. Makes you feel bad about yourself.
So why? Right. And we were very active in a very conservative church where I was expected to cover up all the time anyway, and wear minimal makeup, and kind of just, it was vain to think anything good about yourself, and kind of an overcorrection of, you
may
know,
I apologize for that.
It happens.
Right, it does. Be free, girl.
Yes.
Be free.
So, but at the time, I just kind of accepted that I was going to be unlikable to myself. And I just got really tired, I think, of looking at myself and just hating the way I looked. Didn't want to go anywhere. Didn't want any photos taken of me. I'm not in a lot of photos and family videos that I wish I'd been a part of, just because I didn't like the way I look. And I think it feels petty when I hear it coming out of my mouth.
But it's so true, but April. Yeah. I've done the same thing.
I would be like so self-conscious. I couldn't focus on the memory. I'd be focused on how bad I look and how unhappy I know I am in that picture.
Right.
I know I'm not a happy person, too. I see myself lying to myself. And that's also what I don't like.
Right. You weren't being true to yourself.
Right. And I think some people put on a little happy married weight, and they're happy and they're fine, and that's okay. But mine was a culmination of being unhappy in other things.
Yes.
So I don't associate a little bit of weight gain with it being okay, because I wasn't okay in my life. So that's just my personal situation.
So how old
situation.
Were you when you first...
It was in my early 30s was when it kind of really started happening.
So you were you were very active. You were a normal weight until you
had both my children.
Yep, got in this marriage, had children, and things started falling apart. How much weight did you put on that?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was normally, you know, on 120 pounds, and I got up to 150 and 30 extra pounds on someone who's only 5'2" is a lot.
Yes.
And I wasn't being healthy. So I lost a lot of muscle, which means I was mostly just fat.
Yeah.
I wasn't a healthy gaining of weight kind of situation. It wasn't. And and my family members would be nice and say, "Will you wear it well?" Because they would notice.
Yeah.
And, you know, my body distributes it equitably and it looks okay. And I don't, but I know that I don't look good. I don't feel good.
Well, and you didn't feel good. That was part of what happened with me. Like, I can carry extra. I'm pretty heavy, but I, like you, had a lot of physical activity. My father grew up on a farm, so he raised us. Even though we didn't have a farm, we had like little mini farms sometimes, and we worked very hard. So you can see pictures of me from the time I'm 11. I have a six pack. I mean,
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about how we were raised kind of rough.
Yeah.
Not like
country.
Dainty little girls.
That's
country.
Right.
We had horses, and I was 11 years old out feeding hay to the horses and hoping I didn't get stalked.
It's heavy. I mean, I was as big as a string bean and a wind could have blown me away. I was so little. We were little too. Like I didn't get to, I was like 5'1" I was 5 foot when I started high school.
Yeah.
I was 5'2" when I graduated.
Sounds about right.
And then
I
went up to 5'5".
Oh.
After. Like, we were like late bloomers.
Oh. No, I stopped growing my senior year of high school. Maybe even junior year.
Yeah. No, not me. So when you have that kind of lifestyle, though, you're so strong. You're just so strong.
Right. And I don't live the outdoor country life anymore. I'm not in the Army anymore. I think my life doesn't, except for chasing after two little ones, which will burn some calories. There's a lot of stress involved in that, too.
But not enough when you have their snacks available.
And they say, when you have stress, it produces that cortisol, which retains body fat anyway. So your body's working against itself. So it was during the sixth year on to the seventh year, the final year of that marriage, and just going through the divorce and the stressors and everything else. And I was under his medical care at the time. He's a military person, and I'm a former military, so the benefits are great. And I realized if I'm to be on my own with my kids, and I'm all they have, because I don't think that he's able to take care of them properly. I need to be the primary. I always need a mom. I always need to be the one.
The primary.
Yeah, the primary. And I can't take a chance on getting hurt. I can't go back in the Army. What am I going to do with my life? I can't put myself in danger. My life is too precious to these guys.
Right.
And I'm about to lose all my medical coverage, all my dental. I have got to take care of my body. Because I could tell I was not healthy. I wasn't eating right. And I'm like, this isn't going to work. Because they need me. I can't have a heart attack in my 40s and be one of those she stressed herself to death situations.
And they have to take care of you.
And then they have to go live with their dad and not have me in their life or something. And I'm just like, you know, that can't happen.
Right.
I have to be here on earth and healthy.
So you found your why.
That is why,
very important.
Which, you know, I wish that hating the way I looked was enough. Isn't it fun? I would have spent years just kind of in a slight but healthy way, hating myself.
Right.
Self-shaming myself. Oh, you look so, you could do better. You know, you could, you could look healthier. You could be healthier. And so, but really was the children being healthy for them, realizing also I'm losing all my med. If I have chest pains or heart, if I develop, because I have acid reflux already that I got from the Army, if that starts getting worse and I get ulcers from the stress, I can't even, I'm covered under VA, but only partially. You know, veterans don't have full medical yet, unless they do the 20 years, full 20 years, and then they'll get it. But so there's some things that...
And may I say thank you in the middle of this. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you to all the veterans and their families for serving our country. Yeah. To me, I am so impressed. You're just a little firecracker. And I'm so impressed that you did that. And I would think about doing it in my mind right now that it would have been really cool to do that. But you know what? I feel like my physical level would have never met that. So it takes a really, really neat person and it a was special hard. Person.
I mean, I probably permanently damaged my knees and back from everything I did. But when you're young, you feel invincible. Yeah. And I missed feeling like that in the Army. Yes. I was so fit. They call it being fit to fight. And I was in the 101st Airborne Division.
I love that.
Fit to fight.
Come on,
girl. And I was in a infantry brigade surrounded by infantrymen. And all they want to do is get stronger and run faster and carry more weight and shoot better. And so it was constantly.
Did you do weight training or anything?
I did everything
then?
They did.
Women are afraid of that. Did you get bulky from it?
I got bulky from it. I didn't mind.
Okay.
I wanted to be strong. And I didn't. I was, for the most part, single or dating.
Right
now? I know. Right? Oh, now would not be the time. Yeah. I got out of the Army like 8 years ago. So, but I miss feeling fit to fight. And I knew I was about to go through a bad divorce. There was going to be some fighting. Mm. And I wanted to be ready for what was coming.
Right.
Because I knew it was going to be a lot of unpredictability. So being fit to fight for my kids and for my life. I wanted my life back. And so I literally took the last hateful look at myself in the mirror. That
good
I decided I was ever going to do and be like, because it wasn't just the weight. It was a whole reason to start over. And I couldn't, and I had two C-sections that just didn't, no matter how much weight I lose, would never look right.
Yeah.
And so I had that work against me too. And I was self-conscious already about that. But I'm like, I'm just going to get as healthy as I can. I want to get back down to my fighting weight. And so,
and you know what weight you feel good
you know
at,
what
no matter
you
what
do.
Anybody says
that's
or any
so
chart,
true.
You know.
Yeah, and then people, and the thing people would say, you look fine, you don't look fine. I'm like, that's nice, and thank you, but I'm not happy with me.
Right.
So I didn't need that. I, you know,
right.
They were just being nice, and oh, but you have a pretty face, and you know, you hear things like that. Don't you hate that one?
Oh, I hate that one.
And so it just, and I wasn't confident enough about myself or my life to be okay with having that weight on me. It had to go. And I didn't feel good about my future health-wise. I'm like, this is a lot of weight for a small person. This is how type 2 diabetes gets started, or heart disease, or cholesterol problems, or blood pressure, and I can't run, and I can't keep up, and I can't...
We're talking about my family, my dad's side.
Yeah, right. You've got to... It's a machine, just like a machine in your vehicle.
So
you've got to keep it maintained.
To remember when you're eating, and I don't know... And this is probably another topic that we could talk about, but sometimes I was thinking yesterday... Why, when I go to take a bite of something full of sugar, do I not in my mind think this right here equals the thing you're fighting?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this disconnect between what you put in your mouth and what you look like and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow there's got to be a connect in there.
Well, the first time I went to see a professional about weight loss in general and to get the facts, this guy had this, I don't know if it was... It had to have been fake, but it was a replica of an actual 5-pound chunk of fat, what it looks like
thing?
In your body. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a big yellowy,
glob.
Spongy.
It's like a glob.
It's all, and I guess it's always different shapes. And, and it looked like some, and I was just so,
it's
I'm like,
disgusting.
That is 5 pounds? And I'm like,
it's big, isn't
it's
it? Big?
It's big. It's gross.
Like two, like a loaf and a half of
it's
bread.
It's gross.
Size.
I'm like, this is bad. And but I needed those awakeners. Before I did anything, I did make an appointment with professionals, doctors, nurses. I went and talked to someone.
Oh, that was smart. Yeah.
You know, because I wanted information. I was like, there's all these fad diet, all these things out there. Tell me what science says.
See, you're so much smarter than me because I spent 30 years buying every new book, trying it for 2 weeks, couldn't do it, couldn't sustain it, put it under the bed. So, you know, if you don't want to listen mm-hmm. to April's advice today and you need a book, I'm going to have a sale.
Well, maybe it's a little arrogant, but I thought I spent the first almost 30 years of my life being perfectly fit and normal and average and fine. And not. Yes. So why I know how to do that. I know how to get there. I've never had to lose weight before, but right. I know that I can be healthy.
Well, you're very disciplined, so, you can tell. Like, you decide to do something and you do it. I love that about you.
So they explained to me that as your stomach grows, as you grow it and stretch it out, your nerve endings also grow. The number of nerve endings and all the signals and all the things that send signals, everything multiplies when your stomach gets bigger. So your hunger pangs will be so much more invasive to you and your brain.
Wow.
As you extend. And then, so that's like when you first start the dieting process, the first step is you're going to feel hungry because you have to shrink your stomach. Your stomach is not meant to stay all stretched out like that.
Right.
So as the stomach trains itself to become, as you train it to get smaller and smaller,
it shrinks because you're not stretching
it
anymore.
Yeah, and the hunger pangs are way less noticeable.
Really?
I mean, instead of it being like, oh my gosh, I am going to die if I don't
eat
right now. It's more like I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
And it's a more of a warning signal than like a smack in the face.
Yes. Knocking you out.
And so if the hunger pangs are part of the process for some people, they're not painful for me. They're just really annoying. But I understand how it can feel painful for some people. And that actually gets better. That gets better
right.
over time.
Right. And thus, you had been teaching me this as mm-hmm. we were working together.
Embrace the hunger pain.
And we have this theme, embrace the hunger.
Yeah.
And I did a podcast and it was called I got a hunger pang and I didn't die.
I didn't die. I learned to love it.
I didn't die.
That means my fat is being burned by my body because I have nothing in my stomach. I am that big chunk of fat I saw in that guy's office.
Yep.
I'm losing a little scoop of that today. Gosh darn it. No matter what it takes. One step at a time. Baby yeah. step at a time. So I was so stressed out during the divorce and I wasn't eating right. So
I call that the D diet.
The D diet,
I
right.
had one of those once.
Right.
And man, did I get skinny.
Yeah.
The D diet. I loved it. I loved mm-hmm. the skinny part, but I don't
right.
want another D diet. So.
I know. It's not necessarily the best thing. So
no, I can embrace the hunger instead.
Yeah. So I use that as my opportunity to try fasting, which biblically, there's reasons why people do it.
Yeah.
And it's always good, I think, to try to take a period of time where you're focusing on what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a spiritual connection with whatever it is that you embrace, take that opportunity to rely upon that divinity
yeah.
to get you through the hunger pain, get you through the tough time, whatever it is. Some people
right.
like to read a devotional as, you know, or like as they're working out, they'll listen to sermons, whatever. Like if you
or
can.
Podcasts.
Or podcasts. Oh my gosh, the perfect thing. Throw on a podcast.
I know.
Spin on the treadmill for 30 minutes. The
yeah.
time will go by like that, especially if you're listening to us gab about stuff. So.
I know. Now, did you go? Mm-hmm. Gary actually used to fast. 1 month a year, he would fast
okay.
and just do anything that would fit through a straw mm-hmm. and go in his body. But mm-hmm. and he didn't do the blender to make mm-hmm. the soup into, you know, that kind of thing. But and I think it's really, really healthy. I think it can be a very spiritual journey for some people. I personally have hypoglycemia really bad if I try that. So I have discovered intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. and I really enjoy that. So did you actually like start mm-hmm. out with an out-and-out fast, or did you just basically do like intermittent fasting?
It was more like an intermittent fasting. And for me, I wanted quick results. I just wanted it off. Some people are like, I need it slow. I need a plan because I'm in a routine. For me, my whole world was turned upside down anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm about hitting it hard and fast while things are already hitting me hard and fast.
Yeah.
So I would cut myself down to, 1,000 calories a day would be.
But for a person your height, that's
and
good,
I wasn't like working out. I wasn't even working at the time.
Yes.
I was just kind of frantically at home worrying about my life. And so I did start walking. I walked at least 30 minutes a day. I tried to do an hour if I could or until my knees hurt or something.
Right.
Just walking around, just moving, getting out of the house really helped. But I like to skip breakfast. Some people don't skip breakfast.
I do too. And that's why I like intermittent fasting.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. if you eat late, then just wait a good 12 hours
yeah.
until you eat again. So I like to go a good 12 hours, and then I would also cut myself at night. Now, I know this sounds extreme, but 6 o'clock at night.
Yes.
That was my... when
April,
I was,
that's if I do that, that's what works
for
me, too.
You don't eat after 6 o'clock.
I try
you
to do,
will lose weight.
Well, it gives your body... And you can even have, like, something up to 50 calories, like mm-hmm. milk, skim
right.
milk, something like
mm-hmm.
that, if you're really having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a whole podcast on intermittent fasting, and I tried to do 14 to 16 hours mm-hmm. from 6 o'clock at night.
That's good.
And mm-hmm. by the time you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you've already got 12 hours done.
Right.
So have a cup of coffee
right.
with a little teeny bit of cream in it. You're
right.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And try to wait, you know, 13, 14 to 16 hours somewhere in
right.
there.
Yeah.
I can see why it worked for you.
Right. And I had to cut out. I decided there were certain things I would not buy. My children were kind of just above toddler age, so I could really control what they were eating. You know, I didn't have to have chips. So I was still, they were still eating healthier foods like Cheerios and fruits and things like that before they got into the more the junk food realm later. So I was able to control that. Like,
yes.
literally no chips, no cookies, no sugar.
No,
I
can do
I don't drink soda.
But no chips. I can't do the
yeah,
no chips.
Yeah, I didn't do the no, I did
no
chips.
But you know, when you do intermittent fasting and you're counting calories, your focus was on health. Major
mm-hmm.
health things,
mm-hmm.
but you can still have a little bit of the things that you love in there. And I think
sure.
that's why it works, because mm-hmm. long term, you have to be able to
right.
sustain what
right.
you're doing.
Right.
So how long did it take you then?
Well, I love those Zone Perfect protein bars. That kind of helped me through, because they taste like a chocolatey dessert to me, even though they're protein bars.
yeah,
so
I love
that. Was kind of like my treat was
yeah.
my protein bar. It didn't actually take me very long to get to where I wanted, maybe about 3 months.
Because you didn't really have that much to lose.
Yeah, it took mm-hmm. me about 3 months. I lost about 10 pounds a month.
Okay, so how long ago mm-hmm. was it that you reached goal?
It's been a year and a half, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
So
congratulations.
And then a few months, and I maintained that weight, started working out and firming up. And then after that was when I decided came into some inheritance money. And I
yes.
used some of it very well and appropriately. And I saved a little bit for myself and decided I would get surgery done on where my C-section is and get my breasts
and there's,
augmented.
That's when you went to
And that's when I went to
Dr. Wells,
Lexington, Kentucky. He is the most experienced
He's amazing.
Plastic surgeon in Central Kentucky. He's amazing. Everyone there is amazing. His wife and everyone who works for them, they're impressive, professional, kind, caring, smart, beautiful, all the things
mm-hmm.
that
and
you want.
So you had breast augmentation and a tummy tuck?
And a tummy tuck, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did it at the same time. It's called the mommy makeover. And a family member of mine had had it done before, and so I saw the results and saw the recovery was well. And because I need to be healthy for my kids, and I couldn't take a chance on picking just anyone, even to
no.
save money. I wanted the
no.
best, because
yes.
I wanted not just a good result, but I definitely wanted to survive it. You know, it's a big
right.
surgery. It's a big decision. It was a very painful recovery that I had family help me through.
Yeah.
And it was worth
every... I say that like I know. I want a tummy tuck really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm scared.
Well, I had lost all that weight, and then what I was left with was some extra skin and scarring that no matter how much weight I lost, no matter what,
yeah.
no amount of
the
creams or the nothing was going to help. And then I did a nurse both of my children, and
yep.
and so, and I was a C-cup always, and I still kind of was, but they were, you know, a little deflated, and... You know, looked my age. And
so
I,
have you pumped them
so
up?
So I pumped them up, yeah. So
look,
basically,
you
know,
look great.
I used, well, and the doctor told me, you know, we could have gone bigger. And I was like, no, I just kind of
want
to look.
Well, we don't want you
I just
want to
look
over.
19 again. Yeah, I just want to look the same I did at 19. Just like, just ready to go.
That's so funny, because if I go to see him, I'm like, I just want to look 30.
Right?
I'm like, I don't need to look 20.
Right.
I just need to look 30.
30, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I had that done, and that was awesome, and that really helped, because then I can wear things I never thought I could wear before, and it really helped my self-esteem, and I wound up finding a great guy who just would have loved me anyway, but I feel like it's a treat, you know.
But you know
I wanted
what?
The man of my dreams to be spoiled and happy, too.
Right, but don't you feel like, well, first let me say this, if you're interested in a mommy makeover, you can find Dr. Wells in Lexington,
mm-hmm.
Kentucky at wellsplasticsurgery.com. They also do great skin care
mm-hmm.
and fillers and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're an official sponsor
they do the,
of the
They
Julie
do all my Custis. Botox and everything,
yeah,
too. And
yeah,
I get a lot of compliments.
You look 19.
Thank you.
You really do.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then I was going to say, yeah, Let's take a moment.
Thank you, Wells family.
Thank you, Dr. Wells and Jesus.
Right, I know. And may God bless Dr. Wells and Jesus.
And he live a very long life.
They're going
to
love this.
Us.
They're going
to
love this, yeah.
So, I do think, though, after you have that kind of a surgery that you're literally put off a different vibe. There's so much more confidence. You know, I always say, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Boobs are power. There's just something about when you feel good about your breasts, you feel powerful, you feel attractive,
right?
You feel confident, and there you reeled in the big dog.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah. You got a good man there.
I did.
So do you think
he's awesome.
Do you think that losing the weight and then doing your mommy makeover changed the way that you would relate with maybe, well, his name's Cole. Do you think it changed how you approached him or the relationship?
I think that I was ready to give up on love during the divorce, and I really felt like, what's the point? And then I just kind of immediately, the other side of me kind of slapped myself in the face and said, no. You are wonderful, and you're still going to find the right way. He's still out there. You just got to find him, and you're going to find someone to love and love you back, and don't give up. And I always I always thought, you know, but who's I've got children now. I feel like I don't want to appear like some other guy's leftovers.
Right.
And I had this stigma, and I saw my mom go through the same thing, and I always thought, that's so sad that my mom had to divorce and start over. And I just kind of, I didn't want to be like pathetic like that.
Right.
And I just wanted to be, I don't know, I wanted to be a whole family or just be okay with being single. I didn't know how starting again and introducing a new man into my life with children was going to be. And I just had avoided it.
Well, it sure is a lot easier when you're not afraid for your stomach to show.
Right. Well, I guess so. Yeah.
to me.
Well, and he met me before the surgery.
Really?
So, but you can't really tell. I mean, you have to be pretty much, for me to be, you know, wearing something really, really tight or something for even you to know there was a before and after. But it made me more confident, I think. It made me feel like I was giving him a better self. Like, I wanted him.
Your best
self. He deserves my best self. And not only me looking good, but me feeling good about me.
Right.
He loves that I'm confident. That's one of the best things that he likes
that
about
women
me.
Women don't realize that maybe as much. I didn't until Gary Tussey. It took him, like, you know, 10 years to help me to understand this. But one of the things that attracted him to me was that I was so independent and self-confident, and men find that very attractive.
Right.
They want you to need them and want them, but they don't want you to not be able to live without them. They want to know that you're, you know, like, you mess up, baby, I'm going somewhere else because I'm all that and a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Well, low-fat chips.
Right. And the men, they don't want us to hear how we beat ourselves up.
No, that's,
they don't
want to
hear that. Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it. So in order to avoid that, I just don't want to put myself in a position where I have to do that again with a new person. Or I'm glad I like where I am, and now I've got to struggle to stay
healthy. Because maintenance is a whole,
yeah.
You know, everyone, I was telling Heather when she did my interview that I never, ever, ever thought about maintenance. I never reached goal. I never accomplished what I wanted, which what I wanted was probably not possible, but I didn't realize it. I wanted to look like the magazine models. And I have big hands. I'm a big blonde baby. And I have a lot of muscle from working like that when I was a kid. I'm sure you do too. So that means my weight might be 10 or 20 pounds heavier than someone else wearing the same size as me.
Right.
But I never could accept these things about her. And I told her, I said, so I never thought about maintenance. Like, I thought that once I reached goal, that was like I had arrived. And then from there on, I could eat any way I wanted and it would stay the same. It was like, I would think that way. I never stopped to think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or my intellect would have kicked in, but just kind of in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, once I hit goal, then I'm done. So you're not. It's a lifelong struggle. So what do you do? So now you're in maintenance and you've been in maintenance for a long time. What do you do? Do you have a cutoff mark if I gain 2 pounds or 4 pounds? And if you do go up, what do you do?
I did actually recently go above what I said I'd never go above. So immediately, like the next day, I'll take charge. And I put the MyFitnessPal app back on my phone. It only lets you cut down to 1,200 calories on the app.
I know.
It won't let you go lower than that. But I will try. I will do that instead of going way lower when I first started intermittent fasting. I'm not really doing that anymore. So instead, I'm using the MyFitnessPal and helping it and letting that help me do the 1,200 calories. That will still help me lose weight. And then like a few days of doing that, it will work. And I have decided that any day I don't go to the gym, I do work out at home, and I have a little trampoline that I like to use.
Oh, nice.
And I also...
So when you jump, evidently you don't pee your pants?
No, I don't. Okay.
Just for our menopausal women, we want to clarify that.
Oh, no, not yet. Yeah. Not yet, anyway. I don't have that problem yet. But I will set an alarm every hour it goes off. I do 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, 10 squats. And then, like, so
really?
Every... Yeah, and so by the end of the day, you've done, like, a hundred... You know, you could do a lot, and it's... You'll be sore the next day.
See, I could see me... That would work in my life. I'm, like, in Victoria's Secrets shopping, and my alarm goes off. I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah, can I use your dressing room? And you're in there doing push-ups. Well, it's mostly for when I'm at home,
and
I don't want to be
really
too sedentary.
Smart,
and I was like, oh... And it comes on, but I make myself do it, because I'm like, this is what you have to do, unless you don't want to drive to the gym. You're going to do something.
In the gym? So far away from your house.
Yeah, it's a long drive
Right. They give us memberships and sponsor us, and we love it. But it's
like an hour of driving round trip almost. Yeah. Just so I'm like, well, I'll just work out at home. So in order to maintain, I've got to stay active. That's my thing. As long as I stay active and stay and I keep working out, I can pretty much eat what I want. And right now my cutoff is 8 p.m.
Yeah, you know, I've done that
so
too.
So I had to go back to 8 p.m. cutoff because I was starting to cheat, and at like 10 o'clock.
I know,
a Cole. Bob of popcorn.
Cole,
yeah, he's my late night. Yeah, he likes his popcorn when
so
we have movie
Gary.
Night. Yeah,
I love popcorn.
I have popcorn with the family movie night. So I'm always like,
that
I don't know
hard,
about that.
Very hard habit for me to break was eating before bed, because my entire life we always ate cereal before bed. Growing up, and I just didn't go to bed well hungry. But I had that's why I have to do a little bit of skim milk. After I get used to it, then I'm okay. And the funny thing is when I'm doing intermittent fasting, I stop at 6 unless I'm performing, which I've learned the hard way. Don't do that while you're performing.
Right.
No fasting while performing, no sugar-free diet while you're performing, because I might fall off the stage. But I just embraced it. I just had to embrace it and break that bad habit. Because I think it was one of the things keeping me heavy. And if nothing else, just helps on your caloric intake. I like to eat a big lunch. So basically, if I do intermittent fasting, I can eat whatever I want. And I'm not I don't eat half cakes and half a bag of Doritos or anything like that. So I can basically go and have what I want for lunch and then a light dinner. And I was saying, I didn't finish my thought, is when I'm doing the intermittent fasting, I will notice that at 5 o'clock I'll be working and I'll look up and go, it's 5:15. Oh my gosh. And I run to the kitchen because I'm so dedicated to that time. And then my second go around now, sometimes I'll be flexible. I'll be like, okay, I have to stop between 6 and 7. But if I stop at 7, then I have one more hour in the morning. I got to go, you know.
And I like that you make all these wonderful soups and then you save it for later. So do you want to tell them about the recipe?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your story.
I love that.
And I know it's going to be an encouragement. And I think the moral of your story is that we have to all find our own way. And that's why I think like the 21-day diet, the 17-day diet, sometimes even Weight Watchers, it doesn't work for everybody.
No.
You know, like you're the kind of personality, we're a lot alike. I think you're an A-type personality, where if it took you 2 years to lose weight, it would discourage you. Like you set a goal and you have to accomplish it. And that's kind of been your lifestyle. I've had to break that for me because I can't be as hard on myself now that I'm going through menopause, but I totally understand it. So hopefully you listeners, you're going to get something out of this. I know you've changed my life and I'm grateful.
Aww.
Thank you. And
well, weight loss should be something that if you have to go through it, get through it and then move on with your life.
I know.
Let's not spend years. Oh, it's my year. It's like, that's so sad. Well, and women are so amazing, and there's so many other things we could be focusing on and thinking about than about weight loss constantly.
Make yourself priority. Make it important. Yeah. If it takes you 2 or 3 years, it does. But every day, stay there. Yeah, every day, work at who you are and being, empowered.
Yes.
Be empowered and be who you are and enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life.
Life is short. You have to live it to the fullest, right?
Yes, you do.
So we have our Valerie Bertinelli soup recipe, and I'm going to include this in the show notes, but let me read it to you. Okay. I haven't read it in a while, but I have made this, and it's helped me lose weight. She lost 50 pounds on, I think she was part of Jenny Craig, and so she created this recipe. Oh. She was one of their sponsors.
Oh, so it's kind of a skinny?
It's a very skinny.
Oh, good.
Oh, on the Julie Tussie Show, honey. Yeah. It's got to be skinny and sexy.
Skinny Tuscan.
Yeah, skinny Tuscan. Say that 3 times really fast. So it takes, she says it takes about, I guess, 30 minutes to prepare. That's not bad.
No.
I didn't find it taking that long. Yeah. Maybe I'm faster. But this says there's only 63 calories per cup.
Nice.
So see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 1 1/4 cup of eggplant, peeled and cubed. 1 cup of water. 1 whole can of tomatoes. She says no salt added. I say add all the salt you want. Undrained and chopped. So those diced in the big can is what I use. I don't use an 8 ounce. What? Are those 16 or 32? 32 ounces maybe, the big cans. Mm-hmm. The next size up, but not the one you get at Sam's Club. 1 can of sliced mushrooms drained, or 1 cup of fresh. Of course, I use portobello.
Yeah.
Fresh. 1 clove of minced garlic. 1 small summer squash chopped. Sometimes I'll put a little bit more because I like that. I might use 1 medium or 2 small. 1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasoning. If you don't have that, you can use oregano. Italian has a few other things in it, but if you can substitute. 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/8 teaspoon of pepper. In other words, shake.
Right.
And then it says 8 tablespoons of Romano cheese, freshly grated. I love to go to Meijer and get freshly grated any kind of Parmesan, Romano, that kind of cheese, and have it on the side. You combine the first 10 ingredients, so that's everything except, oops, I'm sorry, I missed one, a 12-ounce can of chicken broth.
Mm.
So all of those ingredients, and you set your cheese aside. You don't put the cheese in it. You bring it to a boil, cover it, simmer it for 25 minutes, and it's like an Italian chicken broth-based soup. It is like a vegetable soup. It's really good. And then you put the Romano cheese or the Parmesan cheese on top of it. You know that is very low in calories, so you could put 2 tablespoons on it. As long as you're counting your calories or your points, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Tuscan-style soup Valerie Bertinelli.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're really so glad that you were with us. April, thank you so much for being part of the Julie Tussie Show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm going to embrace the hunger with you until we get another 24.4 pounds off. We're going to have fun with that. Please do go subscribe to the Julie Tussie Show. You can find some really cool things on YouTube, and that is youtube.com/ Gary and Julie Tussie. You can also find us at facebook.com/ The Julie Tussie Show. And then we have our own website. I don't know if you knew this, April, but you can actually go to the website and click listen here and go right to the most current podcast.
Awesome.
And then it'll pull up the archive. So that's thejulietussieshow.com. This is Julie Tussie telling you, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest.
After a week of hearing hundreds of I can'ts, I'm here today to tell you, you can. Find us on social media at facebook.com/ The Julie Tussie Show and Instagram, The Julie Tussie Show, home of the original Suburban Bombshell. There's nothing more powerful than love and acceptance. Find it in abundance here on The Julie Tussie Show. For gorgeous designer-inspired jewelry with a fantastic price, go to julietussie.mypremierdesigns.com. Again, that's julietussie.mypremierdesigns.com. Jewelry you're gonna love to live with. Want to feel amazing, strong, and healthy any time of the day or night? Go to Get Fit in Richmond, Kentucky. Open 24 hours a day with memberships as low as $14.99 a month. Fitness on your schedule. Get Fit.
I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glam pain. If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.